peek behind the curtain. We're wrecked already.
Hey, thank you for joining the Escape With Me book club. Escape with me, Sam Reiner.
And me, Caitlin.
Into our most recent read. Come with us as we evade reality and go into detail about a new book. We'll be covering the book from beginning to end, so remember, there will be spoilers. Today we're going to the countryside of France, published on September 6, 2016. As old as time is the Beauty and the Beast entry to the Twisted Tales book series. This time, we look at what would happen if it was Belle's mother that cursed the beast instead of a random enchantress. Does the book hold up to the expectations of such a question, or does it wither under pressure? So we were both really excited about this question. I don't know how you feel about it, but...
Like all of them, the question is 100% misleading.
Yeah. I mean... She does, but it's not nearly as much about her as I thought. Once again, I don't know how I feel about that question.
Right, the question isn't wrong, at least like it was in Aladdin. That wasn't what the plot twist was, but there was so much added to it, not just simply what would have changed if the enchantress was Belle's mom. That was addressed and the implications of it, but there were other so many stories. Details that got changed.
Yeah. So age level, the series is YA, but I don't know about this book. YA 17, 18, not YA 14 year old.
I don't know. I kind of disagree because at the end of the day, it felt very cut and dry. The actual plot itself wasn't very complicated and it was intriguing to some extent, but it wasn't very complex. The content sure is what we would definitely consider more adult, but ratings are getting so much more loose now. Just because there was, you know, content warning torture in it doesn't mean it's not a young adult book.
Yeah, but some of the torture scenes, like I talked to my husband who reads much worse stuff than I do, and I was like, oh, here's something that was mentioned. He was like, what? And I was like, yeah, Disney. Beauty and the Beast. And we can get to that, but some of the stuff that they were casually like, oh, here's this. And it's like, oh, what am I reading?
Yeah.
When did we take this left turn? How far have we gone? What is happening?
Yeah, but it was only there at the end. There was the hint of what was happening and the abuse and everything in the beginning, but...
The ending goes off the walls.
A little bit, yes.
Absolutely bonkers.
I will say, I think that was the biggest plot twist I wasn't expecting. I had some wild theories up until the end of the book, but then there was a moment where I audiobooked this at 1.5 speed, by the way, and there was a moment when it was like, oh, and this is what they found. I'm like, oh, hot dang, I know who did it. You know, I got the thing and I was totally right.
So YA question mark. Content warning. You tell us how you feel. But racism, hate crimes, kidnapping, murder, blood, language, PG-13. Torture, not kidding. Physical assault, parental abandonment, medical gore, not kidding. If you have problems with either of those two, especially, and the parental abandonment, not for you today.
Yeah, I forget, I guess, about parental. Parental abandonment is a thing.
Oh, that's a huge thing in the book.
No, as needing a content warning.
Ah, I wouldn't normally, but she definitely dives into it. And if you're having those feelings, I don't know if this would help you or not.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's fair.
Judge a book by its cover. So the way the covers have been going, this is the first one that doesn't have the heroine question mark side profile with the city or castle in the silhouette.
This is the first one that was published with the new look that all the books have. I mean, I really like the cover.
The first one and the second one both have the villain, and then this one has the beast. And so I was wondering if it was going to change a bit and maybe the beast be more villainous. I didn't.
No, if anything, he was more tame. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like this is when it switched a little bit because the next one has Mulan on the cover and she's not the villain.
Yeah, I am really excited about that one. We don't know. Maybe she is.
Maybe she is. We find out at the very end or something.
Yeah.
But that kind of changes up because some of them now, like you go back to part of her world, it has Ursula on it. But for the most part after this part, it's the hero on the cover. Like, the Rapunzel has Rapunzel in a tower. Frozen has Anna and Elsa. Almost There has Tiana on it. I think the Peter Pan one has Wendy on it instead of Captain Hook.
That makes me interested to read Unbirthday, because the Queen of Hearts is on the cover of Unbirthday.
Yes. So I'm kind of curious when they were like, yes, we totally need to have the villain on the front for these, but not these. Because Captain Hook has a very recognizable silhouette, just like Ursula or Queen of Hearts.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Belle would be a much harder silhouette to do in this style than the Beast, right? Because, I mean, she's just a person at the end of the day, and her hairstyle isn't even that iconic. So I think hers would be a lot harder to do in this way.
No, the Beast was a good pick, but I was surprised it wasn't, well, I say Gaston. Gaston's not in this book.
Yeah, that was kind of
disappointing.
I mean, I was fine with it.
I was not.
Yeah, I mean, Gaston's a really weird villain.
You love him, though. There is a reason Beauty and the Beast has a Gaston song.
No, don't get me wrong. He's got a great villain song.
And he's a great villain. He has chemistry with Belle in the perfect way a villain should have chemistry with the main character. And it starts out so normal, and then it erupts from there, and it's just so good. But no, they completely skip that in this book. They're like, we're not going to talk about Gaston at all. We're going to briefly mention him. Like, oh, there was a wedding that he tried to start, and we don't actually see Gaston or anything from that. And then we don't even see him in the book until Maurice is like, we need someone to help. So we don't even get that. Gosh, it disturbs me to see you, Gaston.
Well, we get the brief clip where they see him in the mirror, I think. But I don't know. He starts off hardcore weird in the original movie. Like, the first introduction you get to him is him telling Belle that she doesn't need to read, and that's really creepy for a woman to be able to read. She just needs to be with him.
Yeah, I love it. He's a dumb idiot.
I disagree that he starts off soft and goes hard. No, he's hard from the very beginning.
Well, I say starts off soft. That's a conversation I could see happening. But by the end, he's a murderer and trying to put her dad in the psych ward so she'll marry him. That's a little bit more extra than you shouldn't be reading books because they'll give you ideas.
It's fair. But hey, they did keep that part of it, I guess, in the book, that ending part.
Oh, we'll talk about that. I can't.
A little psychotic.
I can't. Anyway, so I hate that. I hate that we don't get, I always say screen time because I don't know what else to call it. Screen time.
Page time.
Of Gaston. Because we get Belle being like, oh, he's so terrible. And so I feel like that's a missed opportunity, especially if you're going to make him like he is later.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a lack of character development on that one.
Very disappointed. Because we sure as heck get to go to the bookstore.
Yeah.
Didn't skip on that.
Nope.
But we're not going to see Gaston.
Barely.
I'm salty. Whatever. So we're just going to skip him entirely. So the first section of the book is a back and forth where one chapter will be, oh, this is Belle's mom and her dad and how they got together and their love story and whatever and what happened to the kingdom that they were in. And then the next chapter is just straight up plagiarism from the movie.
Yeah, but all of them have done that to some point. I mean, Aladdin distinctly was almost word for word the exact movie up until the turning point.
Which we complained about then, and I will continue to complain about now.
But this one was interesting because it gave you the whole what's in the past, what's in the future kind of vibe.
I know, that's what made me sad. I was like, you could just skip until Belle's to the castle. Just give me more of them together. I don't care about Belle's chapter. I didn't understand why we had to have these interludes of Belle being like, oh, I'm walking to the bookstore and I hate this provincial town.
Well, to me, I don't want to say liked, but I thought that was interesting because you know now in the past that they live these really cool lives in this cool French castle, you know, court or whatever. How did we get here, right, to the place that we do recognize of Belle and the provincial life and blah, blah, blah. How do these two connect? And I do kind of like that storytelling method where you switch back and forth between past and present until you see where did this go wrong. And for us in this one, it was where Rosalind cursed the Beast.
Yeah, but they don't meet up. The timelines don't merge, and it's literally just the movie. And I'm like, if I wanted to watch the movie, I would have watched the movie, guys. Could have at least given me Gaston, but no, we had to cut time for that. I'm bitter. We're gonna have a retelling. Let's have a retelling. Don't halfway do it. I want to know how the heck the wedding happened. Why didn't we even get to see the wedding scene where she figured out, holy crap, how did he get her there? What was happening? What did she think? How did she get away?
No, that was all implied. She never went. She was sitting up away from it, noticed it, and was observing it. He never actually got her there. And she didn't run away. She never showed up.
Let me see in my notes here. Let me find where the heck wedding is. Oh, I literally just say there's no Gaston Bell moments before the surprise wedding. That's all I say. But I thought running away, as she was getting away from the wedding, and she was like, how dare he think that would work? Da 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 da. And she could see Gaston over being sad or something. I don't know. It was dumb. I would have liked to see that scene more. Just like how in the movie, she runs away and he gets thrown into the pigsty. And then how dare she? Where's the drama?
I think there are just some things that don't play out as well on a page. But I agree. They're relying very heavily on the fact that you know the story. I mean, like you said, at one point, there's literally a title that's like, oh, you know the song. Like,
yeah, no, it's BR dot dot dot. Oh, you know the rest. And I'm like, then why am I reading this?
Yeah.
If I know the rest, what is happening here? If they were going to sell, I'm just retelling it as a novel. Fine. People are totally into that. I wouldn't say I wouldn't be into it, but don't tell me. We've got a new story if we don't have a new story. And that is my problem with part two. Part two is boring.
Really? I thought part two was interesting.
It had no direction, and it was just a retelling of the castle, except instead of the montage of all the different things, they cook together.
I'm sorry, what are you defining as part two? Are you splitting the book up into two sections?
No, it has three parts.
Oh, okay, sorry. My audiobook didn't differentiate parts, so I was like, what do you mean part two?
Oh, weird. So the first part is everything where it flips back and forth, right?
Oh, okay.
Part two starts where Belle is treating his wounds, and then it goes until Maurice is brought in and tries to save her but isn't able to, and then in part three. Yeah, but it's basically the same thing. Well, I mean, it's a lot more in her head. Sometimes there's mysteries, but it's, oh, I'm reading to him because he likes Jack and the Beanstalk, which, by the way, I vastly prefer the live action where the Beast actually knows how to read. I don't like how this book basically made the Beast Gaston, except a little different, but you wouldn't know that because we haven't met Gaston.
That's fair. He does mention how much he enjoys hunting quite a bit. And you're like, that's weird.
Well, and he's like, well, why are you reading? Reading's weird. And she's like, it's not weird. And his mannerisms, even at one point, either he points out or she points out, it's like, wow, I'm sort of like Gaston. And I'm like, why? Is this secretly shipping Gaston fan fiction? Is that why Gaston's not here? Is he just a cover up? Is that what this started as?
It's probably more realistically the whole, this is how two people can appear to be beast-like and have the stereotypically manly interests and blah, blah, blah. But then the love for the partner overcomes what their preferences are, you know, kind of thing. So he's like, why would you read? Like, I don't like to read, blah, blah, blah. But then he finds out it's important to her. So he engages her in her interest versus Gaston's like, oh, absolutely not. You don't need to do that.
Well, I don't know how much it was engaging her interest more. So he actually ended up enjoying it. I go back and forth. I really like the live action there where they actually bonded over something mutual and had that chemistry. And she's like, oh my goodness, all of these books, they're amazing. Have you read all of them? He's like, no, some of them are in Greek. It's so good. I much preferred that. And so I was a little let down when he was like, I don't read. I'm like, that's not realistic for your station, but okay, sure. Spoiled boy does what he wants.
I took it as, because he mentioned eventually he's classically educated. I took it more as he didn't feel human, so he didn't do human things like read. So it's not that I don't, it's that this is not something that I do because I have not felt human.
Yeah, but he even mentions like, oh yeah, I was tutored, but I still didn't like reading. And I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, but he was an 11-year-old boy, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. You're bored, you have nothing to do. All I'm saying, there's an entire room full of books.
Yeah, that's fair. The way they've always described that room, yeah, it literally is just this huge room full of books.
I don't know what else he's looking through the mirror a lot, I guess.
I did actually kind of like that, the whole comparing. It almost felt like a metaphor for phones and stuff where he's just like, I have to bury myself into what's happening outside because that's the only way I'm ever going to get to do it, you know, for people who isolate or have really bad social anxiety.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's a nice thought.
I think he said, like, show me the redheaded kid. did and that kind of stuff. And almost, I literally thought, huh, are these the people he's following on his mirror?
He's just following their lives.
Yeah, he's so scared and horrified of his own reflection and what's happening to him that instead of actually trying to do something to change it, that was something that I had a problem with, as we always talk about, what happens fits what needs to happen in the plot.
Yeah.
Like they're talking about, we're never going to be able to leave and blah, blah, blah. And then with a little bit of effort, you separate these webs that are supposed to keep a gigantic beast in forever.
I did not understand the webbings because it was like, oh my gosh, it's happening! 4 days later, it's still happening!
Exactly.
And the whole, oh, I have escaped and now I am going to go back in and just hang out forever.
Yeah.
Why is this webbing happening? I like the sense of foreboding. I feel like we could have had something else. Maybe the castle sinking in general. We don't need the webbing that makes it complicated and kind of confusing. And I'm not actually sure how the webbing works because it sounded like it was going really fast and they were about to be trapped. And then like 4 days later, she's able to leave the castle.
I imagine it more as they were coming from the ground trying to find purchase on the castle, but the castle is so huge and so tall. Because the way it always described it was trying to reach for the higher trivets and everything. Because they did have to completely get out of it at the base, but it still should not have been that easy. And so again, it's one of those things where the plot just does what the plot wants to move the plot along.
I also didn't understand it because it was like, oh, they're wrapping around the castles and wrapping around the windows, right? So you think it's really tight, but then they're able to go to the courtyard and the stables.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that because at one point she sees a reflection in the webs from her bedroom window, right?
Yeah.
So how could they get out and go to the courtyard?
And when Belle and the Beast escape, they're through an upper window having to break it down. It's so tight around the window and strong. And I'm like, did you have a webbing sky? Why were you allowed to have the courtyard? They just walked around the courtyard and it's like, oh no, we're never able to go outside except for over there, the outside in this area.
Yeah, didn't the wardrobe be like, oh, well, if you want to go ice skating, she's like, what are you talking about? We're trapped in here forever. She's like, no, you're not. You can get to, there's a little ice skating thing in the courtyard. She's like, what? Made no sense.
Why would the wardrobe know that also? She didn't go outside to check.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, the webbing, the plot convenience.
Yeah.
Just to be honest. And they bond over cooking, which I didn't really like that scene.
I thought it was cute.
It felt weird that Belle was mad at him for never cooking. Like, duh.
Yeah, you know, it was peasant shows royalty how selfish and vain they are. You know, I feel like that's a big trope. Like, what? You don't know basic life skills?
No, he doesn't.
But I did like how he made a joke. Oh, well, yeah, like women have to cook for their husband and that triggers her so hard. And have you seen the TikTok reels of how my husband knows he's mad at me and they're chopping something and then they start just chopping super hard until they do whatever needs to be done? That's what that reminded me of. I thought that was hilarious. And he's like, wait, what did I say wrong? The Beast was really funny. I'll give it that. I feel like this Beast had way more humor.
I did like this Beast a lot. Maybe it's more so I didn't like this Belle.
Having the inner monologue of a character can either make or break them.
It really can. And my biggest issue with her is she cried constantly.
So much.
And that doesn't feel like Belle? Yeah, she cried once in the movie. Once.
Yeah, there's the one scene where she throws herself on the bed and cries, I think.
Yeah, and she was having a pretty bad day.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, I think anyone would cry. That would be normal. But her normal response in the movie isn't to cry.
Yeah.
She doesn't cry. And so it felt more like an Aurora thing to do. Aurora cries a lot. Aurora cries over everything. That's fine.
Yeah. And I'm someone who cries a lot. And I don't judge people for crying because you just need to sometimes. But it did feel a lot like it was the only emotion the author knew how to give her.
Yeah.
Which is frustrating that it's a female character and all you can do is make her sad.
I know for a fact there were two duplicate scenes where something sad happened. Belle would start crying and then chide herself like, I can't cry right now. I have to be strong for them. And I'm like, are you kidding me? This is Belle.
Yeah.
This isn't Ariel. This isn't Snow White. This isn't Anna. This is Belle.
Yeah. Yeah, she's canonically one of the strongest, almost, I would argue, of the classic age Disney princesses.
It would be like making Elsa do that. It's just wrong. Or Tiana. Tiana's a stiff upper lip girl. It's just, I didn't like it. So her response to everything was to be sad, which fair, but it didn't match the source material to me. And then the other emotion she always feels is anger. She's either sad or angry.
Yeah. She gets into the complexities a little bit. It would explain her cycling through her emotions, I think. but maybe two or three times.
Yeah. Cycling through all two of them.
Yeah.
I didn't connect with the Belle as much. And so I'm salty at the retellings because it had a lot of her stuff. And so a part of me is like, this is the movie, but worse.
Except not the movie, but that's our difference of opinion.
It's replacing one scene for another, but the outcome being the same. Like I said, she replaced all of the really cool montage scenes of snowball fights and dancing and eating soup together with that one cooking scene.
Yeah, and that's something, spoilers, my question at the end is, why are you trying to convince us this didn't take 4 days? This took 4 days, canonically. Like, you kept doing time jumps and switching perspectives, but it was about 4 days of time.
Yeah, it was very confusing.
How does a person develop feelings this deeply? Because literally, by the end of night one, Belle was softening to him and being like, oh, maybe he's not as bad as I think he is. I'm like, no, ma'am.
You want to know what's funny? This is the first Beauty and the Beast to directly be like, Stockholm Syndrome exists.
Oh, yes. That was so funny at the beginning.
And this is the most Stockholm Syndrome version I have ever seen. She's like, I have to be careful because I know about this syndrome where you take pity on your captors. She doesn't say Stockholm Syndrome.
No, but we know what she's talking about.
But then she immediately is like, but I need to think about his feelings. I'm like, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you really? So I guess that's the other thing. Because once again, you have this montage of all of these moments of them together and growing and moving and whatever, with one cooking scene to weigh everything on.
Yeah, exactly. It was weird. It felt forced.
Also, the Beast was not nearly mad enough about the fact that it was Belle's mom. I felt like that was going to be more dramatic, but he was just like, oh.
No, he had his moment, I think, because he ran away after it or something, but he's all, I can't control my rage, and me as an anger management therapist, I'm like, that's total bull crap. Because then he did it later on in the book. I'm like, oh, come on.
Although, wasn't that when he blacked out completely?
Yeah, maybe that wasn't when he found out it was his mom. I think that was maybe when she was talking smack about his parents or something.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She was like, oh, maybe they weren't a great ruler. He's like, they were a great ruler. Runs away.
They were wonderful parents.
Yeah. Fair. It's really hard to rewrite the narrative, even when you're given objective facts.
Yeah.
We get the Beast perspective later on, and I kind of wish we got more Beast perspective in the book.
I do agree with that. I think that would have been neat.
We get a lot of Belle in the movie. She's basically the main character.
Yeah.
The only main character, beside Gaston. Gaston also manages to try to be main character.
He tries to. Isn't, but he wants to be.
It's a solid effort, but I feel like that would have really differentiated the book more if we had more Beast perspective and see what he was thinking. Like, what the heck, dude? You just kidnapped a lady. What are you thinking here? And it's like, oh my gosh, why did you get so mad about her? I mean, this book, she actually does ruin the flower. So fair for being mad.
That was a cool twist that I liked that I wasn't expecting, was the whole, oh crap, I just hastened it. And they did kind of go through an appropriate round of emotions on that, because he was super pissed off that she did that. And she's like, I didn't know what this was. What are you talking about? And then eventually he finds it in himself to be like, I know it's not your fault, blah, blah, blah. I mean, she feels probably a little unnecessarily guilty, but after everyone starts getting humanized, the emotion she felt once she realized all of the servants were actually people, that was her primary motivation before she actually fell in love with the Beast.
Her finding out about the servants felt the most realistic. Although, the way it's written, it's supposed to be this huge plot twist, but we know. I was waiting.
Well, and I love how when she told him, he was like, I mean, what did you think they were?
I am a little sad. I love the faces and the animated, but okay, we're gonna go classical with that and be like, nope, they are magic items. Fair. Okay.
Yeah, that was kind of weird, but I guess. And I didn't notice it until after they got introduced, where she very specifically was like, this thing doesn't have eyes. That's weird. And I'm like, wait, what?
Darn.
Darn it.
I love the faces, but okay, fine. We're going to go with that. That's fine. So that's their chemistry. He's bleh.
Yeah, kind of off.
I much preferred Aurora and Philip.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly kind of preferred Jasmine and Aladdin. I felt like they had much more chemistry than these two, and they spent less time together.
Yeah, and I do think, unfortunately, you can't really do montages in books, and so that's what hurt, is that they kind of went with the same perceived timeline, but at least in the movie, you got this montage where they're spending this time together. You feel like time is passing, and so it makes sense why they're becoming being fond of each other, versus this one, they had to use a lot more almost morality and, like you said, finding these common grounds, which they really don't have
at all.
But they really relied on that part of it because you can't do a montage in a book.
Yeah, but maybe they didn't. I don't know. I don't even know how to fix this. I'm glad it's not my job.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically all the retelling stuff. We can talk about the Enchantress stuff. I like a little bit that they play with the kingdom of the beast and not just the castle, because a lot of the adaptations just focus on the castle and you're like, well, there had to have been a town too.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, hey, we get to learn about the town. Okay, there is a town with magical people and non-magical people. And then one day, the non-magical people were like, you know what I hate? Magical people. Let's murder them all.
Yeah, I mean, they tried to give the justifiable excuse why the tide turned with the killing of the normal boy by the Le Charmant, but it felt really forced.
I'm going to be honest. This is the most white version of racism. I feel like if this was written by a POC author, it would have been done so much better.
Yeah.
Because nothing starts with a guy got murdered, so now we're going to kidnap them from our homes, steal their businesses, and burn down their houses.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing goes 0 to 60, but there was nothing. There was no microaggressions. There was no slurs being spoken. One day, a dude used magic and it killed another guy, and then it went from 0 to 60.
I mean, I disagree. There was a ramp up, but we came into the story after it had gotten really intense.
Yeah, but Rosalind or Alaric or any of them never says, oh, these things were happening before. It's always, oh, it started with X.
Yeah, but that was canonically like years ago.
Yeah, but that was the other thing. He comes in, there's magical everywhere, everyone's still cool with it, and then all of a sudden, nope.
Yeah.
Dragged from their homes, burned down their houses, kill them, punch them up in the street, beat them up. If the guard sees you, they're gonna look the other way. Levels.
Yeah.
No chill. No chill, but no idiosyncrasies. Not idiosyncrasies. What is the word I'm looking for?
Intricacies?
Yeah. No intricacies whatsoever.
Yeah.
It goes from we were all doing fine to let's lynch them. Levels. Anyway, I could talk all day about that, but let's not. It had a very white version of racism where white people are like, oh, we can't be racist. We're not murdering people in the streets.
Yeah, I did feel that. So specifically with the character who ends up being the villain, what is his name? Frederick, I think, in the beginning. I actually got a lot of you're trying to make his parallel between internalized homophobia, because he himself was a magical person, but he didn't want to be, and he thought all other magical people were horrible and that kind of stuff. And I think it kept going back and forth between racism between the different groups of people, but then a little bit of that prejudice of your thoughts and beliefs are different than me and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and it could still be internalized racism. Oh my gosh, there was a heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking sociology, I can say words, experiment done. And black girls were given two dolls, and one was white and one was black. And they were asked to describe the dolls, and they would describe the dolls that were white as pretty and smart and nice, and everyone loves them. And they were like, well, describe the black ones. And then they described them with like ugly, stupid, da 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 da. And it was, they'd been internalizing this racism that people had been telling them, and they were like four. These were Barbie dolls. And so I can totally see it being that too.
Yeah, that's fair.
And there's a whole, but there's a whole history with colorism and being closer to white, being more favored. And oh my gosh, in America specifically, there's a history, but in other countries too, colorism is a huge problem.
Yeah.
When bleaching your skin is encouraged and so many things. Anyway.
Yeah, and then we get that one racist dust mop. Or what was she, the feather girl that Lumiere was all over?
The feather duster.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That.
Yeah.
Anyway, racism is a very delicate, intricate issue. And I mean, I will definitely say they were racist.
Oh, I mean, for sure. And at the end of the day, that's why I said it was more on the YA side, because it doesn't have the complexities that we as adults understand, know that go into diversity and all that kind of stuff and what internalized prejudice and all that kind of looks like. It's not. It's these are the people who are different, and these are the people who are quote unquote normal, and here's how the normies hate the different people kind of thing. And it was just super cut and dry.
See, And that's why I think it's worse that it's a YA and this is how it was handled. Because then you have the people looking at this and being like, you don't experience racism. It's not like this. And then the poor people of color or any other minority is like, but microaggressions. And they're like, but macroaggressions. And that makes it extra bad that this book is like, but macroaggressions.
Yeah, they're the worst. Yeah.
Which is basically the beginning of the book. They have a cute little love story. He sees her one day. He thinks she's the prettiest girl ever. And she turns a man into a pig.
Yeah, that was good.
Isn't that the tale as old as time?
His nose into a pig, yeah. Well, and then I loved how he was super nervous and everything. He's like, do I tell her that I've noticed her? Or I'm going to sound like a stalker if I say that. And then she's like, I've noticed you around the village. And he's like, what?
No way!
I did love young inventor baby engineer Maurice was so good. I did really enjoy that.
Yeah, and so their love story is cute, but I have issues with the racism.
Naturally.
For the reasons I have already spoken far too long about.
Yeah.
I feel like if they had taken out Belle's parts, maybe they could have focused more on stuff. I don't know. Anyway, so here's the thing. I will say from this part, because I was not feeling the bookstore where they went back to the animated thing. There's a whole freaking bookstore in a town where no one reads, and you're like, what business do you get? Okay. The bookstore owner is a magic user.
Yeah, there to keep an eye on Belle.
Specifically because she's his goddaughter. Okay, I accept this. I still prefer the live action because it feels the most realistic, but if we were gonna keep it, that was probably the best excuse we were gonna do. And plus, I like the little blurbs that he's the one who had the magic mirrors to begin with.
Yeah, kind of giving you that, oh, that's where that came from. That's super cool, you know.
Yeah.
Overall, the first section was interesting, and I definitely was wondering. So my initial impression was, oh, the Beast kidnapped Rosalind. And that was my first guess, right, from the beginning.
See, I was so confused. I didn't know what was happening. So I'm glad you had an idea, because I was just like, what is happening?
Yeah, with her monologue.
It came out of left field.
Yeah, this is what the story should have been versus this is what it is. And I was like, oh, snap. My initial thought was the Beast captured the mom, and then the Belle is going to show up and they're going to fall in love. And then she's going to find out this horrible secret that he's been keeping her mom prisoner this whole time. But then obviously that's not what happened. But that was my initial guess at the plot. From the beginning, super wrong.
Hey, at least you had a guess. Like I said, I was just like, okay, I don't know what to do with this information anyway, and I just kept going.
Yeah.
Okay, store that away for later. Okay, so there are a couple of core scenes she took out of the book that were in the movie, and I'm mad about. She takes out, and I've talked about that, she takes out Gaston, both the scenes. She takes out most of the bonding. I would have been okay with a snowball fight. That would have been... Anyway, she did cooking, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
We'll go with it. Mm-hmm. She takes out the dancing scene. They mention the yellow dress. It drives me nuts.
They do.
It drives me absolutely nuts. Chekhov's gun. If you're gonna talk about it, what the heck?
No, I think they just put it in there to tease us.
Easter egg. I'm mad. That was iconic. Iconic.
Yeah.
No, we had a sort of mystery, not really. So here's my other problem. I feel like either they needed to have the first part be the love story between Rosalind and Maurice and really expound upon it, or they needed to not have it because the investigation was really bogged down when it was just complete dramatic irony.
Oh, the fact that we know what's going on, but they don't?
Yes. The entire mystery was, oh my gosh, what's going on? And you're like, XYZ waits like two chapters. Oh my gosh, it's this. Thank you. Okay. As a mystery lover.
Yeah, not great mystery.
Not a great mystery. And especially when they spent so much time on it. It would have been so good if maybe the flashes of the scenes we get, maybe it was Belle looking through the spindlies. I don't even know the webbing. It's ice, but it's web. I still don't know. I feel like that would have been much better to see these snippets of her mom and dad. And it takes her a while to realize that's her mom, but play more on the scary side where she has those what you think are nightmares with her mom following her around? Are we going to go like the last book where it's like, okay, we're going to full tilt mystery. Hey, something's wrong here. But I wonder if Disney was like, nah, mix it up. Or she was like, no, I want to mix it up. And so that didn't really happen. And they tried to come at it a different way. Because it's not until you find Alaric's body that you're like, oh, there's actually a mystery we don't know.
Oh, no, I knew the whole time.
But not really, because then you're like, oh, he was stabbed in a surgeon's knife. And you're like, okay, cool, the doctor friend.
Yeah, you knew exactly what happened. Yeah, because like I said, from the very beginning, I knew that Rosalind was alive somewhere. I just didn't know where, how, or why. And so we knew the story up until she cursed them. And obviously she never came home from that.
And then she got kidnapped. And then she was in a place where sometimes she got food.
Yeah, so I kind of like that, where you've got these two timelines. And that's where, to me, they came together, was you put it together that the Mr. Potts died. And then they say surgeon. And that's what I said earlier. In that moment, I was like, holy crap, it was Frederick. He killed him.
I never liked him.
No, I did not like him at all. But I didn't know or anticipate that Frederick was the one who had them yet, or that he was still kind of around.
He murdered Alaric, and that was the part where I was like, yep, I knew they was building something. He was a terrible person this whole time. I don't know why they kept hanging out with them. They were too nice, I guess, frankly.
Yeah, they were. He's kind of like that weird friend. You're like, ah, but he's one of us, you know, kind of thing, even though he is, but he doesn't like the fact that he is who he is.
Which I felt like that could have been another cool lesson for teenagers about you are the company you keep.
Yeah.
And the people around you, your friends are important because they could end up murdering you one day.
Most murders happen by people who know you. Very rarely is it random.
Yeah. And it's how many stories where it's like, oh, I don't do drugs, my friends do drugs, and then they do drugs, and then it's bad.
Yeah, I hear that a lot.
Not okay drugs, very not okay drugs, ruin your life kind of drugs.
Yep.
So we're gonna radicalize Frederick to a point that no one can actually mentally perceive happening in real life, so there's no lesson here whatsoever.
Basically, yeah.
I know I always seem to think YAs should teach teens lessons, apparently.
They teach them very basic lessons, like you said.
Yeah.
The company you keep. I think people perceive that kids in YA isn't ready for the more complex lessons, but my problem is that they are. They can handle that kind of stuff.
Yes. And that's where YA books can step in, because it's not your parents telling you this, and it's them experiencing essentially an out-of-body experience with someone else, and maybe empathizing with someone in a way they wouldn't have before, or finding a situation that mirrors their own and finding wisdom through it. And I don't know, teenagers have a hard enough time. Somebody needs to throw them a bone.
Yeah, exactly. But again, too, Disney's just trying to capitalize on reselling you something that they know you'll buy, on the nostalgia.
This book specifically, I got some stuff out of Aladdin, and I got a lot of stuff out of Sleeping Beauty. Depression was handled very well in that book, and grief was also talked about really well. So that's why I'm like, honey, I think you were burned out.
Well, and I saw your note on it somewhere, and so we will just get to it. The whole, you said I'm disconnected on the I don't have a mom thing, right? That's what I took away from this book, because as someone who has had an absent parent, you are constantly thinking you're over it until something happens to remind you of it. And I really noticed that a lot in Belle, where it was literally because of magic, right? Magic had erased her thoughts of her mom. So those questions and everything were there throughout her life, because she mentioned that, you know, remembering times in her life where she could think like, well, why was mom gone? Blah, blah, blah. But there was kind of magic suppressing that. And then once she was able to then think of her mother again without that magical barrier, all those emotions came flooding back. It doesn't matter if you want them to be there or not, they are. Like, well, it's something I did. They leave because of me. You know, do they not want us anymore? So I personally really liked how they handled that, because again, you can think that you're over that, and then 10 years later, something happens and reminds you of that, like a new detail, right? Which is basically what happened here. She learned something new about her mom. And now it's like, oh crap, this image or this story that I told myself about my parent is now completely shattered.
See? I didn't like the parental abandonment. So maybe different people will get different mileage out of it. But I don't know. I just couldn't connect with it, because, I mean, we have talked about how we both have scarily similar backgrounds,
mm-hmm,
and how we bonded so fast over that. But also dealing with parental abandonment into my adulthood. I don't know. well. I didn't connect with it as much. I could not tell you why, but hashtag not my parental abandonment issues. So, I don't know. It could be a lot of things. I have absolutely no idea. I just personally didn't connect to it. Your mileage may vary.
Yeah. Your mileage may vary.
I'm not going to talk smack about it because I don't have smack to say. I just didn't personally. When Aurora was describing grief and loss of opportunity and depression, I really empathized with that. But when Belle was talking about her parental abandonment and the thoughts about her mother and trying to come to terms with that, so this is the reason why I put parental abandonment in the beginning. Belle's mom technically had a good reason, and she still really loved her child and wanted to be there with her.
What do you mean?
That is not true for everyone.
Oh, the fact that she left?
Yeah, her leaving was not her choice. She loved Belle so much. And so maybe that's why I couldn't connect, because you know from the beginning that the mom's like, oh my gosh, I still love my child. And so I was like, eh, you're going to get a happy ending. You'll get over it.
Yeah, but for me, it was Belle's perspective, right? How did she perceive it throughout her entire life, which wasn't that. That's not the logic that Belle had growing up. Obviously, because magic erased her memory, but...
Yeah.
But you're right. I really do think aside from that, there's not a whole lot of, I don't want to say usable moments.
Teachable moments?
Teachable moments? Yeah, it's not a lot.
Yeah.
I loved Mrs. Potts, though.
I know, I was about to say, there's a really heartbreaking scene where Mrs. Potts learns her husband was murdered, and then they have a burial.
Yeah, that was pretty intense. And her frustration was 10 years later, now you're asking me what happened to him and why he like, are you kidding me, my man? I love that about Miss Potts.
The drama. The drama. It was so good.
Yes.
Him and the servants were done so much better. Class wars and classism, and why was he born special and they were born to serve him?
Yep.
The dignity we owe to each other despite station.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very good. The Beast was done so much better. I just,
Yeah.
We've been over my thoughts though. I loved it. All the things about Mrs. Potts. So I don't know how to feel about this choice. I like it dramatically. The castle objects that are personified people are losing their magic and start slowly becoming ordinary objects. So I like the dramatics of that. I enjoy the way they use it, how there's kind of a suspense and Belle's unsure what to think. Are they sleeping? Are they just like never going to wake up again? What's happening? What I don't like about it is the way the author uses it. It gets rid of the best scene in the movie where furniture is fighting people.
Oh, that's fair. That was fantastic.
It's so good. They did it in the live action. It was still so good.
Yeah.
No, we have to replace that, and Beast needs to go talk to people.
Well, it is him facing his social isolation of it, but yeah, I agree. When he was like, I'm gonna go back and get them all. They have to help me get Belle. I was like, heck yeah, let's do this. I want to see Lumiere wreck some people.
I want to see it. Let's talk about that one thing over, what was it? That one, what was it? It was a piece of furniture, and it was when everybody was hiding, and you get to see in a corner one piece of furniture is being extra.
No, I haven't seen that. That sounds funny, though.
Oh, yep, here it is. Okay, it is a drawer, like a cupboard of some sort, and he's hanging out behind one of the lion pillars, and it's this chest of drawers holding a baseball bat.
Oh, that's funny.
The asylum.
Yeah.
This is where I was like, what is happening? What is happening? What is happening? Is this a Disney book? Is this licensed by Disney?
Yeah, it did go dark.
Yeah, because my husband was reading a Ken Follett book, and Ken Follett is known for being graphic and realistic about stuff. And so my husband was like, oh yeah, this torture scene, blah, 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 something with eyeballs. I won't say anything more than that. And I was like, oh, I think I can do you one better. And he was like, what? I was like, oh, this is talking about how they dissected a woman and put lodestones in her stomach to try to get rid of her magic. And my husband was like, what? Yeah, there's this other scene where a guard just casually mentioned he's probably going to beat the bottom of Belle's foot until she pees, so it doesn't show bruises. What are you reading?
Yeah.
Beauty and the Beast.
I think they go between fantasy and realism of the century that they're portraying, and this is where they got a little too hard into the realism and what passed for medicine at this time, and it just got real dark.
Okay, remember how we were talking in the first book and you were like, you know, it gets really dark in places, and I wonder, maybe it was me at this point, honestly, I can't remember who said it, but we collectively were like, I wonder if the author wanted to go darker, but Disney was like, nah, light it up. She really wanted to go darker. This author wanted it.
Yeah.
She was like, Twisted Tales, I got this. This is proof.
Yep. Here are the things of your nightmares.
But also, this got to the part of the book where it was like, your editor did not have the proper time for this book, because in one chapter, there were 4 different typos.
Yikes.
Not even small ones.
Yeah, this is where reading the audiobook, I am at a disadvantage because the person reading it, I guess, corrected it. So I didn't catch anything like that.
Yeah. And Disney is known for their polish. So that's pretty bad. But I feel like the publishing schedule caught up with them and they had to publish it. They had to hit the date. And so she didn't have time for concepts and writing, and they didn't have time for edits. So we got a really weird torture scene that we're going to skip over most of.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, also, they try to go talk to the bookstore owner, and this actually bothers me a lot, so I need to talk about it. They find the house burned down, and they say that there's nothing but the walls and rubble, but the second floor is still intact.
Yeah, again, because I read it as an audiobook, I don't remember how much of the description there was of how destroyed the building was.
Oh, don't worry. I wrote it down. The building is nothing but 4 walls and rubble, but the wooden stairs and the wooden flooring from the second floor was so intact that a 200-pound plus beast was just fine walking around up there. I am annoyed.
Yeah, that does not seem congruent.
Not at all. Floors weren't even creaking or anything. I'm mad. Okay, back to torture scenes.
Yeah, that was super random.
Yeah, I just had a lot of hate for that. So she's in the asylum. There's some medical gore and some mentions of pre-surgery stuff. But if you're not into that, please don't.
Yes.
I feel like the entire asylum scene was the author writing themselves into a corner and then not knowing what the heck to do.
Well, how do you mean they wrote him into a corner?
I feel like the entire third part was, okay, let me do it like this. Have you ever listened to somebody put their foot in their mouth and then they kept talking and you kept listening just to see how the heck they were going to try to dig themselves out?
Oh, well, yeah, that's fair.
That's kind of how I felt about this, because it was just like, oh, Belle got kidnapped. Oh, Belle's in surgery. Oh, she's locked up and can't get out. And I'm like, we're running out of pages, author. How are we going to do this?
Yeah, that's fair. The last section felt very short. It went super fast.
Yes. And a lot of very convenient things happened, because at the end, I was a little disappointed because it was like, how is she going to get out of this? Magic.
Yeah.
Gosh, dang it. Oh, by the way, it's a Christmas book.
Yeah, right. It's not time for the Christmas bonfire. And again, that's why my ultimate question is, at the very end, you start talking about how, oh, it's been weeks, and you try and force that time has changed. There's been a lot of time.
It hasn't.
But it is canonically been they go to bed and they wake up, and they go to bed and they wake up for 3 days.
And several times she takes naps, but she's very adamant that they're naps and that it's still the same day.
It was only a couple hours. Yeah, like one of the days she literally wakes up in the middle of the night and then is awake for the rest of the night or something like that. And I'm like, come on.
Yeah. So the beast goes and talks to the humans and is like, hey, we need to help Belle. And apparently the whole town's like, yeah, let's totally help Belle. The asylum's weird. And also, this is the part of talking about. The beast meets Gaston. He's like, wow, Gaston and I are really alike.
Yeah, we're kind of similar.
I hate it here. Anyway.
Yeah.
So all the townspeople are gonna go, and you think that's how Belle's gonna get out, but nope.
Nope.
She manages to run amok and open all the unwell people's, even not unwell, but are probably unwell now, people's jail cells, and uses the people as meat shields so she and her father and mother can get out. Okay, Belle.
Yeah, meat shield is a lot, but yeah. I mean, because she says she does it to create a distraction.
Yeah.
But knowing the brutality of the guards, that is what's going to happen. You good? That sigh.
Oh, yeah. No, sorry. All caps, red writing. She figuratively talks about feeling like there's a dagger in her brain. And I was like, do not figuratively talk about that when torture is a real possibility here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. What am I reading?
Just because you say figuratively doesn't mean we don't think of it as real.
What is happening? She also very conveniently runs into people.
Oh, yeah. The way she mimics the nurse or something.
Yes. Whatever, you know, she needed to get out. For some reason, they have to run and get out through the laundry. Fine. I don't know why the laundry went to a courtyard. It just went straight outside. I feel like that's a security risk, but okay.
I mean, honestly, that feels like the most realistic when you're talking classic jailbreak movies.
True.
The laundry is a very classic way to get out because you get hidden. And then the idea is it's a chute that just empties into some sort of warehouse or something where stuff gets collected.
Yeah, but she just runs out the back door.
Yeah, that's fair. And then everyone's there.
Yeah, and oh, it just so happens she finds all the terrible evidence because the doctor wrote down everything like an idiot.
No, that is accurate to a surgeon taking surgical notes. That is 100% accurate.
Okay, fair. But the first book she picks up in that entire room.
Fair, yeah.
Okay, fine. We're running out of time and pages.
That's true.
So you come to find out, you find out Rosalind cursed them because she gives the parents a chance and she's like, hey, our people need help. And they're like, nah, we're good. And so you think they're just ambivalent about it the entire time. No, they were funding this.
Yup.
So one day the king and queen, which you cannot convince me that they cared about the random kid in the market, given how they act about everything else, were just like, you know what? We hate magic people.
Yeah, that was kind of a little bit of a plot hole.
And now go ahead, torture the magic out of them. See what happens.
Yep, make it make sense. Well, but it's interesting though, because I think I remember back to Belle's baptism where Frederick mentions that he's going to get this new position that's going to be life-changing and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh, so that's what he was talking about. He gets to do his own experiments. This is the position he was talking about. And that was kind of wild.
Yeah, but how do you go from, oh, I'm at the christening. I would be part of this magic circle if we had enough people to bless this baby. Here, Rosalind, here's a present. We have difference of ideology, but I'm besties with your husband too. Let me torture you day in and day out.
Well, it's a very stereotype of the person who is interested in the human body and how it works before that was socially okay. There are periods of time where people who were interested in surgery were considered witches and wizards, you know, that kind of stuff, because it was such a crazy idea to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and then on top of that, his whole how he was a seer kind of thing. But he hated it. He said when he came to the baptism, he's like, you didn't tell me magic was going to happen. I didn't agree to participate in this kind of thing. But at the end of the day, he cares.
Yeah.
And I think that that's that one little bit of humanity, because he gets this position and he knows what's going to start happening. And he's the one who tells them, if you don't leave right now, you're gonna die. So it was that little bit of humanity.
And it's completely gone.
Oh, yeah.
Because not only is it, oh, I'm trying to get the magic out of him, I'm leaving you in abysmal quality and letting my guards beat you up for funsies and not caring about you at all. It's that. Where did the humanity go? We don't get to see that. We just get to see, Rosalind, you need to escape. I care about you too. I will torture your daughter to see if she has magic.
Yep.
Yikes. And he's also technically doing that to normal people.
Yep.
Not the extent that he's doing it to the magic people, but he is being sketchy to normal people because he found out like LeFou's great aunt is there. What is happening? Why is this happening? Why is no one asked a question yet? I feel like more questions. Why is no one visiting these people?
No, remember it made the comment that they did. Yeah, that the actual part of it looked a lot nicer so that unsuspecting visitors wouldn't notice what was actually going on.
So they get outside. And the villager... The villagers catch the guy and they want to kill him for all the atrocities that he's done. But they're like, no, he needs a trial.
Oh, yeah.
And this happens again because this happened in the first book, too.
Yeah.
Jasmine wanted to kill Jafar and here Beast wanted to kill this dude. And instead of them having to actually face consequences for making the action, we're just going to conveniently have someone else do it.
Yep.
So he still ends up dead.
Yeah. And I totally agree how all the villagers were like ready to beat this man with a club and then they don't, and then guess Gaston kills him. Like, oh, but no, he should have had a trial with a judge. That makes zero sense.
No. And they're like, how dare you? I did kind of like one of the comments. So he shoots him in the head, essentially. And one of the villagers is like, well, never gonna unsee that.
Oh, yeah. He's like, I'm gonna live with that memory for the rest of my life.
Fair. But also, you were totally about to do that yourself.
Yeah.
I know mob mentality, but still.
That was a little funny.
And so that causes Gaston to lose his golden boy status. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, wow.
You're telling me he couldn't spin that? Fine, sure. So that's where I'm like, all of the villains just go from 0 to 60. And who can relate with any of this? Who can see themselves in any of these characters? Or other people, for that matter? This is so over-the-top villainistic. No one normally will ever deal with people like this.
Yeah. And again, that's why YNA, it's very cut and dry, black and white. You know, the villain's the villain and the hero's the hero, which is a disservice.
Boring.
Yeah, exactly. It's boring. But I did like when Rosalind's like, I'll turn you back. And he's like, wait, what about everybody else? And then Belle's like, oh, I forgot about those ones.
I'm telling you, this chick was just opening it for her own purposes. She's not a hero here. Also, I was gonna ask, because at one point you put it in my notes and you saw and you laughed. When she starts freeing the prisoners, I thought you and I were gonna have a detailed conversation about how that's not a good idea because these people would be so mentally unwell they could potentially hurt themselves in something like this. And I thought we were gonna have this interesting conversation and be like realism versus fantasy, because fantasy, of course. But nope, she's just straight up like, cool, go be a diversion so we can escape.
Yeah, well, and at first, TBH, I listened to the last little bit of this book today. So I actually read your comment before I had gotten to this part. And so I was like, oh, well, it makes sense. She's just releasing the Le Charmant, right? I thought that was the only people that were in the asylum. And so I was like, oh, well, that's what I'll tell Sam. Like, well, no, these people weren't actually crazy. They were there under false pretenses, so they're going to be fine. But then Belle makes a legitimate comment about where the non-Le Charmant are and like actual people who have mental problems are there too. I'm like, oh.
Well, it's not just because we were going to have the conversation of, yeah, they weren't crazy going in, but after all that, they're severely mentally scarred because we can talk about the historical practice of psychiatry and the torturous stuff that they went through and how if they weren't mentally scarred going in, they definitely were if they came out.
Oh yeah, the PTSD for sure. But like you said, because in my head, you think about it from the actual well-being perspective versus the this is how you do a jailbreak perspective. And 100%, that's what people do. And that's the reason why they do it is because the people who are not able to maintain their safety or they're not able to do the rational thing, which is to get out, they are going to create the distraction that's so big.
Yeah.
That's what's going to take up all the guards' time. So if you look at it from like a classic jailbreak scenario, it felt appropriate.
Yeah.
But I did love your comment. She's like, Caitlin can speak more to this. And then you're like, oh, wait, never mind.
Nope.
LOL. You're so right.
We were not going to have a detailed conversation about how you should not do that in real life.
Nope.
Oh, well. So in the end, I love this. Gaston proposes to Belle again after murdering this dude. And her response isn't, oh, no, we don't get along. Anything normal. Like, oh, you just murdered a dude in front of me. Or you sent my father to the asylum in the first place. You're the reason we're here. No, she's mad because he burned down the bookstore. That's the reason she gives. She's like, I can't marry you. You burned down a bookstore. Belle, a lot has happened since that time. And I get it. It's very important to you. I understand that's home away from home, but what?
Yeah, I kind of looked at it because I think the way it went was like, she was surprised that she wasn't actually angry in this moment. You need to figure this out for yourself. And that's probably the easiest connection for you to make is you burned down my favorite place in the world. No.
Yeah, because this would be, if this was an adult book or if this was a PG-13 movie, this would be their one F-bomb. Are you effing kidding me right now?
Mm-hmm.
But no, she was just like, you burned down the bookstore. And I was like, I would be so mad at this man.
Yeah. Oh, infuriated.
Oh my gosh. Happy ending, sort of, for some people. The furries are going to be happy because his curse doesn't get broken. We still don't know his name is Adam. He doesn't even get a name in this book?
Yeah, I think they hinted that where he's like, I used to have a name or something, but he's like,
I don't tell you it anymore. So by the end of the book, you don't even know his name's Adam.
He's just Beast.
They're going to travel the world with him as a beast to try to figure out how the heck to turn him back. And so I'm like, yep, there you go. And all the furries clapped.
Yeah, fam, that's not going to work out super well.
No. Okay, I will give a niceness before we end. I like the line that Rosalind had of, I had power and no wisdom, and now I'm gaining wisdom and I have no power, because you could substitute that with youth.
Yeah.
For teenagers. I had youth, but no wisdom. But then as I'm gaining wisdom, I have no youth.
Yeah.
And it's the age old youth is wasted on the wrong people.
Mm-hmm.
But not really, because we all have it, and then we all lose it because we're all stupid idiots whose brains haven't developed yet. What the heck?
Yep.
I would like to keep the energy a little bit longer. Alas.
Yeah, but that was good. For as little as Rosalind had in there, I did love all the moments where at first Belle was being super judgy of her mom. She's like, why on earth would you do this to an 11-year-old? And then she slowly is like, oh, wow, I'm a lot more like my mom than I thought. She's like, I'm acting pretty rash. I'm not being that smart about stuff. And finding those connections, I was like, okay, at least you have some insight.
Yeah, I did like that a little bit, but I'm going to end it there. I've ranted about a lot, and I've ranted about more of it to my husband as I was reading it.
Yep.
It was Christmas time, Christmas Eve, that I finished reading this book. And at the end, that's why it was funny. I was like, oh, this is a Christmas book.
Yeah, right. Right there at the end, we find out it's for Christmas.
Woo! General thoughts. I usually read to music, and I like to do the music based off of kind of the vibes of the book. So I went into this and I picked a song for it. And let's just say French cafe music was not appropriate to this book.
Yeah, no.
Something dark and scary, honestly. Maybe creepy music I should have gone with. But yeah, they just reached a point like halfway, like, this music choice isn't appropriate.
No, I feel like Baroque music or something would have been more appropriate.
I am going to keep listening to it as an act of rebellion.
This is what the vibe should be like.
At least a little bit in the beginning. Come on.
No.
Oh, well. I think this book was rushed. I think she was burnt out.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think I have proof of this. Like actual proof.
Yeah, I think so.
Because let's talk about the publishing schedules for these books.
It's like every year, right?
No, it was twice a year.
Oof.
The first book. Oh, Disney Books doesn't even list the Aladdin anymore.
Oh, you're right.
Question mark?
Well, we got to read it anyway and open rebellion.
Yeah, take that, Disney. You can't take back what you did. Okay, well, go to another source that's not the most official source. Well, fine, Wiki. Trust them. Okay, so this is the publishing schedule. All one author. The first one came out in September 2015. The second one came out in April 2016. And this one came out in it September 2016. That is two books a year. That's 6 months per book to conceptualize and plot and write and edit and then write again and then edit again and send back and forth with Disney, I'm sure, a bajillion times because they're Disney, and then turn around and do it again. It's insane. And apparently it was not working because the next book didn't come out for another year and a half.
And it's a different author.
Yeah. Now the rotation has three authors and they just added a fourth. That's so many people, and it's still keeping that twice a year schedule. So it's really obvious that one author every 6 months was not working out, and this is the book where it broke down. And maybe if you read it and you like it and you don't think it broke down for the book itself, obviously the back end was not working, period, because they kept the author. She is doing Ariel next. So it's the next book that came out was Mulan and then Ariel. And I think she's going to do really well as the narrator for Ariel because she was really good with Aurora, and Ariel's kind of equally that I cry over everything that Belle just isn't.
Yeah. Which then makes me excited to get into the rest of them, because I am excited for a new author, and B, a little bit more time, like you said, to actually put effort into the book. Because Liz's next one is Part of Your World, which there's a 2 year break in between Tale as Old as Time and Part of Your World. So she had more time publishing than she did publishing the first three. So hopefully that means it's getting better. I don't know anything about this other author. So I'm kind of mad skeptical. And again, I'm ready. If Mulan travels to the underworld, has no relevance to the original movie, but yet I'm very intrigued kind of thing. So I'm ready for this just like divergence.
I would be concerned if Liz was writing Mulan. Mulan is an action-packed, stronger than everyone, awesome kick-butt person. And those just aren't Liz's strengths.
That's fair. But I also am hesitant because I don't know anything about this new writer. So let's hope she does Mulan justice, because Mulan is going to be a difficult one to hold up.
One question for the author. Who came to who about the burnout? I want to know if Liz came to Disney or Disney came to Liz.
My guess is Liz came to Disney. My question, like I've said throughout the entire thing, why are you trying to convince us it wasn't 3 to 4 days? At the very end, she starts throwing in language like weeks and, oh, it's a whole nother season and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, this happened over like 5 days, if not less. Just own it. And Stockholm Syndrome isn't really even a thing we can technically study, but basically just people who've gone through really intense gaslighting, captive gaslighting.
Rating. So I would give it a withered rose out of 10. It crumpled for me. Belle touched it and it died.
I feel like it's a middle of the road. So I will say being trapped in a carriage as an engineer that you can't actually look at the engineering of out of 10, because that happened to Maurice.
Read again. I would not read it again.
Yeah, I wouldn't read it again. Won't be suggesting it to my friends who love Beauty and the Beast either.
No, this is not. I think that's the saddest thing about this is even if the author gets to take a break and comes back and is refreshed and ready to go and writes amazing books from here on out, no matter what, Disney's not going to publish another Beauty and the Beast. So this is all we will ever get.
It really is, man. Sad.
Favorite of the series so far? I'd have to say mine is Once Upon a Dream.
I don't even know if I can say I have a favorite. Aladdin was weird. I guess I'll have to agree. Once Upon a Dream, just because it was so different. I don't know. None of them. Yet.
Thank you for exploring as old as time with us. I'm Sam Reiner.
And I'm Caitlin.
And we hope to see you and a friend here next time. Escape With Me Book Club is a Lunar Skulk production. Check us out on TikTok or Instagram to keep up to date with us. Lunar_SKULK.